I'm John Batzel, Eurasian Times, headline, China eyes military base in U.S. front yard. Experts call PLA's Atlantic outpost the greatest security risk of all. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is with me, and we go to our man on naval intelligence, Jim Fennell. He is retired captain, U.S. Navy, most importantly, co-author of the new Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure. He's also a fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy, comes to us from sunny Switzerland. Jim, the Atlantic, the front yard of the U.S. and Europe, and China projecting power into it would be ambition, maybe a bridge too far given their logistics, but right now this article mentions Gabon. You tell me that other ports on the west of Africa along the Atlantic have been port of calls for the Chinese. What other city, what other countries, and what is the ambition? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and Gordon. This this report is important because it just demonstrates the commitment that China has displayed to have a presence in the Atlantic Ocean for a long time. So they've sent research, oceanographic research vessels into the South Atlantic almost two decades ago. They've been slowly sending those kind of vessels in there to do research. But in this latest report, it was reported that the Central African nation of Gabon had the president of that nation had in August of last year told the PRC that President Xi that they would allow PLA Navy warships to be stationed in Gabon. Now, this follows the Chinese sending their 43rd Naval Escort Task Force that had left China in January of 2023, took up station in the Gulf of Aden in February, conducted escort operations through April, and then in April, you know, did some exercises with the Pakistanis. But then the end of May and beginning of June, they turned over with the 44th task force, and the 43rd then went across the Mediterranean, out through Gibraltar, and down to West Africa, where they visited the Côte d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, Gabon, and then finally the Republic of Congo. And each one of those five West African nations, they did a five-day port call with their three warships, a destroyer, a frigate, a guided missile destroyer, guided missile frigate, and a resupply ship. And in each one of those, they were, you know, what we call showing the flag. Instead of showing the United States flag, though, they were showing the PRC flag. And I essentially testing the waters about, literally testing the waters of where their ships, their deep draft vessels could get into ports and which ones had the makings combined with what they're doing commercially to where they could think about having a forward operating base. And so that's what they want to have is one in the west coast of Africa that gives them access to the Atlantic, which as the article states, and we know that the Chinese are definitely interested in putting pressure on the United States. And by threatening the east coast of the United States, they would be able to do that.
Gordon, you have a question for Jim.
Jim, in addition to these places listed in the Eurasian Times article, if we go back about a half decade, there were these reports that China wanted a naval base at Walvis Bay in Namibia. Do you remember what the do you know what the status of that is now?
The status of the military presence isn't defined yet, but the commercial port I think is almost complete. So they've they've done a lot of work there in Walvis Bay. So that's farther down from the kind of you would call it the knee of Central Africa, is closer down towards South Africa. It would provide, maybe a way for coming around the Horn and given ships that would transit that way, an easier way to refuel and resupply. So it's all about providing kind of an island hopping, if you will, but not island hopping, not at the islands in this sense, but nation hopping ability to provide stations for PLA warships to be able to pull in and get, water, food, supplies. And in the case that it becomes a naval base, then they can actually have forward stationing of weapons and material there. And once you start getting a foothold like that, you can then start flying aircraft and doing reconnaissance operations.
Big picture. We know about Gwadar in Pakistan. Actually, it's in Balochistan, but Gwadar, well advanced. We know that they've have good relations with Iran and are capable of basing out of Iran. We know about Djibouti. These are the string of pearls across the Indo-Pacific. To your measure, and I believe Madagascar or some of the islands off of Africa might be in play. To your knowledge, does the PLA Navy have the logistics to sustain something that reaches as far as the Atlantic?
Yes, I believe that they do under the rubric of their Belt and Road Initiative. So we think of Belt and Road in purely commercial terms, but it can also be used for military operations. And they're building these what they call comprehensive resupply vessels, the type 901s that are 45,000 tons, and they have some 903s. And so they know that they need to have resupply vessels that can escort their vessels just like we do with our warships around the world, and having bases at different spots. And one of my colleagues, Carl Schuster, talked about you want every 15 to 2,000 miles to have some kind of base that would allow you to be able to operate out of there and keep everybody moving and flowing.
Gordon, you have a question.
Jim, you would assume that in a wartime situation, the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Air Force could destroy any Chinese base in the west coast of Africa. Is that true? And how much effort would it take, and how much a diversion of resources would it be for the United States?
Well, I think in terms, Gordon, in terms of being able to, you know, launch a strike, yes, we could do that. But it is a great diversion. And the more bases that they have, the more challenging it becomes. And if you look at, for instance, we created the Fourth Fleet, which covers Latin America. How many ships are assigned to the U.S. Fourth Fleet? Zero on a daily basis. We have, these kind of arrangements where we have headquarters, but we don't have assigned ships because our Navy is so small. So the Chinese understand this. And in the great game of Wei Chi, putting these bases out there puts us in the back foot.
Right now, Jim, is the Navy talking about this? I understand there's not money enough for everything, but do they have this on their to-do list?
Yeah, the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Department of Defense is well aware of this. You saw, I think, what was it, just this last month, they've separated it out, the headquarters staffs of U.S. Africa Command from the European Command. They're now separated and they're focused on the Africa problem. So we understand it to the degree that we can, but it's all about resources and the ships and submarines and aircraft that we need and we don't have today.
And you're thinking right now, what would it take? A fleet, a task force? What needs to be on permanent patrol in the South Atlantic?
Well, it would take, several ships. And to establish a presence like that would require, a big infrastructure that we just don't have today when we're challenged in this Middle East and we're challenged in the Western Pacific. It's just and then you talk about Latin America as China advances there.
Right.
So we're heading downward trend line in naval ship production while China is rapidly increasing. And that's the strategic imperative.
Jim Fennell, co-author of Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure. Gordon Chang, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.